Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the fatherhood podcast. I'm Seth, a new dad, and on each episode you'll hear me and my good pal Jamie,
hello,
who's also a new dad, as we chat with our special guest each month about everything that comes with modern day fatherhood. Along the way, you'll also get the latest highs and lows and thrills and spills as Jamie and I foray further into these unfamiliar, joyful and often choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters. Choppy waters. Choppy waters. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. I can't quite believe it's episode 11. I think like the last one, which was episode 10, went pretty much without comment. Is that right, Jamie? Did we not even mention the fact that we'd done 10 episodes of this?
I know. That was quite a big deal and we kind of scooted over it. Yeah, 10. I think the big one's going to be 12 and then that'll be a year. But 11's good.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah, so maybe we shouldn't celebrate this too much.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Episode 11.
Jamie's here, obviously.
Yes.
What's up, Jay?
Actually, stuff's gone on for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I've got some stuff.
Oh, you got some stuff?
Yeah.
Would you want to go? You go first with your stuff. What's going on with you?
Well, it's been a bit of a hectic kind of few weeks, it feels like. Because as you know, I was doing the sort of daddy daycare stuff. Yeah. I was on shared parental leave.
Or parenting.
Parenting. Yeah. So that ended. But obviously, of course, like by extension, Alice's ended as well. And she went back to work. So then Eliza has been going to daycare for the last few weeks, so it's all sort of happened. And then I started university this week, which
yes.
is another big change.
How was Freshers Week?
Awesome.
Yeah, I saw, traffic light party.
Oh, mate, the stuff that I've seen this week.
No. So you haven't gone into any flat parties or anything like that?
No one's invited me. I'm on the
You're
outskirts.
That weird guy who sits at the back, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is a postgraduate degree, okay. So there are some other older people on the course.
Yeah.
But
and remind
still,
me, what are you studying?
I'm doing behaviour change, okay. and a master's in behaviour change.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, and you're now a week in? Or a couple of days
one
in.
Week. Well, I had like, it was freshers or like induction week last week.
But yeah.
Like my first actual seminar this week.
Yeah. Does that mean you're seeing Eliza less or you get to
well,
see
no,
her more?
Well, so I've arranged it so that I'm still working, still doing my job, the job that you still
don't know anything
about. Nope. We can keep it that way.
Okay.
So I'm doing that 3 days a week and then I've got one day where I go into class and then one day of reading
parenting.
And also childcare.
But okay.
actually so far, the combination of reading and childcare isn't going particularly well.
Because it's just childcare.
It's just, yeah.
yeah.
The morning's all right because she goes down for a long nap after breakfast and stuff.
Yeah.
And I can get in about an hour and a half. But once she wakes up from that nap, it's basically
fuck
that. Game over.
It's done. Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Yeah. And she's crawling now as well. So it's like difficult to, you know.
Oh, you can't just put her in a chair.
Yeah.
Terrible.
What's going on with you?
We had a bit of a scare last week, actually. I was out playing golf,
right.
as you do, on Saturday morning, and I get a text message. I see I've got 3 missed calls and text messages from Nat, which I kind of know something's up. And she said, oh, Matilda's really hot, and I'm going to take her to the doctor, like the walk-in GP at the Whittington Hospital. I was like, okay, cool. She's, you know, running a temperature, whatever. Then get another call an hour or so later saying that, yeah, she's fine, but just a bit of a temperature. Don't know really what's wrong with her, but she said to monitor it, whatever. I then get home a few hours later and Nat's pretty much out the door saying, we're going to the hospital. Her temperature's gone up to like 39.2, okay, I think it was. So I was like, okay, cool. So we dump our stuff, go up there. Seen pretty much straight away at Child A&E and they take her temperature, say, yeah, it's ridiculously high. Give her some ibuprofen. Still not really, you know, you could feel the heat. We stripped her down. You could feel the heat, like when you held her, like radiating off her. And so that was a bit scary. And then they kind of came in and she didn't have any other symptoms. That was the kind of issue, that there was no runny nose, no like cough, no sneezing, no rawness, nothing. It was just the temperature. So they started to say, we're going to test for meningitis. So obviously the worst case scenario kind of thing, and sepsis as well. So they tested for that. And one of the tests they do for meningitis is a lumbar puncture into the spinal column. Well, first of all, they wanted to put a cannula in her hand,
right?
And she's screaming, and you know, she's not even 4 months yet, and they're trying to get the cannula. And they, I mean, fair play to them, it's difficult to find a vein in a baby's hand, but they were switching hands all the time, like trying to, you know, like a pincushion. She ended up and they had to, like, it was like the fifth attempt that they got it in,
yeah.
And she's going mental. I've never heard her scream like that, which is quite upsetting,
yeah, that is.
And then they said, right, we're going to have to do a lumbar puncture. We kind of suggest that the parents don't attend this because it's quite, you know, it's quite full on.
What is, because I'm a little bit, you know, obviously, I know one lumbar
puncture.
Obviously,
you're being a doctor and Dr. Seth, you know. Okay, for people who don't know, I didn't know. They get a bloody big needle and stick it into the spine.
Right.
And take out some spinal fluid. And then analyze that to see how many white blood cells are in that, because then they can determine whether there's an infection. And meningitis is to do with the water surrounding the brain, and you can get that from, you know, your spinal fluid. Anyway, and then they just took her away for like 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, I've never gone through more worst case scenarios in my head than I did in those 20 minutes.
Jesus Christ, man, that's dramatic.
And they came back and it was all good. And we kind of, she was obviously very upset. Matilda was very upset. And then we just had to wait for these test results. And then they came back saying, look, you're going to have to stay over. We're going to have to stay over the night, you know, in the hospital, which is like the last thing you want to do. But they put us upstairs on the ward in a room and that was okay. But it only had one bed, like a tiny single fold-out bed. So again, I went home. Actually, I went to the pub.
And, understandable in the circumstances.
Well, do you know what? Honestly, it's the first time I've ever understood when people... You know when people go, I need a drink?
Yeah.
For me, as I'm not a massive drinker, I go out, whatever, but I've never really understood that kind of I need a drink kind of thing. It's never really hit me like that. I needed a drink. And so there happened to be people in the pub, so I went to the pub. And the tests actually came back. And turns out it wasn't meningitis, it wasn't sepsis, but they still need to give her antibiotics and what have you. So they sent us home saying more test results were coming. And because we live in Islington, they could have a doctor come round and administer the antibiotics because Islington have a doctor at home service, which is quite good. And they came round and then we got the test results back the next day and they were all negative. So thankfully... she's fine. And it was just a fever of some sort. We don't know why. We don't know where it came from, but could have been, you know, a throat infection or something. But it just made me think in a different way than I've ever thought before.
Like in what sense?
As I said, the worst case scenarios go through your head and you start thinking about what it must be like to be parents of, like, God forbid, of kids who are in and out of hospital a lot or in hospital a hell of a lot because of, like, very serious illnesses and conditions. And you just start to ask yourself a lot of questions as to how you would deal with that and what you'd do. And worse, like, my mind went into some crazy... And all the while, I'm trying to be there for Nat and trying to be the person that's like... No, everything's gonna be fine. Of course, everything's gonna be fine. You know,
they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. It's fine, doctor, whatever. But at the same time, you're there, kind of like, you know, just fearing the worst, really. But thankfully, as I said, you know, and I just can't imagine what it must be like to, you know, be a parent of a child who's that ill that they need kind of constant hospital attention. But luckily, she's all good, and Yeah, and we have her home, and she's, I mean, the antibiotics kicked in pretty much immediately, and within 20 minutes she was like a bright, happy self again. But
wow.
Yeah, scary still, but it's kind of, I guess it's one of those things that you go through as a parent that kind of changes you a little bit and changes your perspective on things, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, sorry to go a bit deep there.
No, but, it is a bit deep, but I think, like, to lift the tone,
yeah,
perhaps we should introduce our guest for today.
I think
today.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Our guest for today is a guy called Elliot Ray, who, well, hi Elliot, first of all.
Hey.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Well, I was just going to give you a kind of a bit of introduction and sort of, you know, let the listeners know how you sort of came onto our kind of radar, I suppose. Obviously, everyone listening to this knows that we talk a lot about fatherhood and stuff, and so do you through your website. What's your website called?
So it's called Music Football Fatherhood.
And why is it those three things?
Because that's basically my life.
Right, okay.
So when the website started, it was literally just for myself to blog. I didn't have a massive plan for it. And I was like, I could call it something like my name, but that's boring. So what am I into? Music, football, and fatherhood. And it just so happens that a lot of other men are into at least two of those. It's very rare to meet a man that isn't at least into a father that's not into music or football.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, I guess that's how the name came about. And I guess what's good about it is that it's self-explanatory. So people know straight away what they're going to get.
So is there a lot of stuff about like music and football as well as the fatherhood aspect?
So we have like monthly playlists. We might do a review of the top five hip hop albums out this year. We might do some football predictions or that sort of stuff, but the bulk of the content is fatherhood, and I think that's because that's what the contributors want to write.
yeah
and I think that's what we're really about, to be honest. You can get music content or football content elsewhere, but it's hard to find good fatherhood content.
This is like a sort of hobby for you. You have you have a day job as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I have a day job.
And obviously you're a father.
Yeah, and a father. So pretty busy, permanent bags under my eyes. But it's going really well, and it's like I can see it being something now. So I do have a plan to one day be able to do this at least part-time.
Right.
At least one day a week or something. Yeah. So yeah, that's the dream, man. I'd love to do it. Not only just because obviously it's great doing something that, you know, is your own thing that you don't have to answer to anyone else, but also because like, I'm passionate about it. It's actually like sometimes some of the emails I get and the stories that people tell, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm like, can I swear?
Yeah.
I'm like, bloody hell, like I didn't.
That's not swearing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm like, bloody hell, I didn't think this was going to happen. So like, being able to provide a platform for people to really get deep is like amazing, and it's sometimes quite overwhelming, some of the things that people say and the stories they tell. Okay, so what Jamie was saying about the hospital stuff, I can relate to that. My daughter was very ill when she was born. She had a very serious infection, and we went through that for 2 weeks. We were in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Intensive care, MRI scans, and it was hard. Like, see what you were saying about it changes you, like that literally changes you, because you think things that you're just going through an experience that you would never think you would go through, because you always think you see things on TV and you think, oh, that's not going to be me.
Exactly. Sort of
and you think, oh, I was gonna have a baby, and then all of a sudden you're in this place where you're just like, wow, I don't know what to do. Like, I literally don't know what to do. Cried for the first time in years. Just wanted to call my mum. And it lasted literally, we were in a hospital for 2 weeks, up and down with this infection and whatnot. And
how old was your daughter at that point?
It was from birth.
Right, okay, right.
So she was born with this infection. So she was very ill when she was born. When she was born, she wasn't breathing. She was grey and stuff like that. So it started literally from
going. What was the infection? What was the?
So it's called GBS.
Okay.
Yeah, and since then, my wife, she's in communication, so she's been helping them with their marketing campaign.
Okay.
Just doing some freelance work for free, helping them. It's something that is very common, but it's very common that it's like a vaginal infection. It's very common that women have it,
yeah,
but it's a very small likelihood that your baby will be born with it.
Right. It's not the same as the strep B.
It's strep B,
it
yeah.
It is strep B. It okay, is strep B. Nat had that as well.
Oh, really?
But we knew about it. So she had the antibiotics when she went into labour.
So that's the funny thing. We knew about it. We had the antibiotics.
Right, wow.
And we still got it. So the chances are like 1 in 2,000 or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So,
that's serious. I mean, you know, a lot of babies die from that and yeah. you know it's did they catch, I could be wrong about this, but does it turn into meningitis?
It can do, yeah. So
because it's passed on from the mother through the birth canal at birth, isn't it,
basically? Right.
So Dr. Jamie today,
yeah, well, as I said, you learn these things when you know it's happening to you, I guess, right?
Yeah. You do research. So yeah, so one, I think 1 in 10 babies die from it. Another 1 in 10 have like meningitis and serious long-term disabilities and stuff like that. So it was really tough, life-changing. It's weird. It's one of those things where obviously it was really bad. Obviously it was tough, but it kind of makes you a lot more like a resilient person and you learn from it. So I look back and I wouldn't say I'm grateful for the experience, but it's something that you go through
and you
deal with it. So that was at the time, I'm not sure that I knew, but I think that was one of the reasons that I wanted to then start documenting and start blogging.
So it was quite soon after that that you
started. So she was born in October. So she must have been just under 3 months.
And she's how old now?
She's 2 next week, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Her name's Eleni.
Eleni,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was definitely, I think, that played a part. Even at the time, I don't think that was on the forefront of my mind because we were just in kind of, obviously, getting by mode, just getting through the day, basically. But yeah, that New Year's Day, we had some time and I was like, you know, I really want to start talking about stuff. Yeah. I didn't even go into that at the beginning. It was just other things I was just wanted to get off my chest. I just wanted to share, really. And then that kind of lasted for 3 months and then people were saying, oh, actually, I want to start writing for it as well. So I was like, that's great.
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, obviously Mumsnet is huge.
Big up Mumsnet.
I mean, you're not like anywhere near that big at the moment, but like are you growing? Do you have like, do you like check the kind of analytics and stuff on your...
Yeah. So we have a private members forum. So you can log in and it's a forum just like Mumsnet basically where you can talk. We also have the daddy debates that we do on Twitter on Thursdays. And we have our contributors that write blogs for the website as well. So it's growing. I think since we've had some really good coverage recently, and basically that has just made the website kind of more popular than it was before. Yeah, yeah. When I started, it was like, you know, 50 people a day or something like that. Mm. If that, we're reading it. Now we're into like hundreds and stuff like that. So there's definitely an interest, and it's so interesting how I feel like even you guys doing this podcast in terms of like dads just being more willing to share now, and it's acceptable to share.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, if you had postnatal depression as a man, or if you were a widower or something like that, you wouldn't necessarily want to show your vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
Whereas now, people actually, they want to talk about it.
Yeah. So those are the types of articles that you typically...
So sometimes there'll be other lighthearted stuff. So someone wrote today 10 of the best baby disco tracks.
Right, okay.
What was number one? Burn, yeah. Baby Burn, right?
I can't remember, actually. I'll check my emails.
Yeah. We should talk about an article that drew our attention to you, which was in The Independent, which you wrote, which... the headline of it was, I'm a young married professional black father and I don't exist. What inspired that? Because that's quite a provocative kind of headline, but I thought it was a really interesting read. And you were talking about there was, you know, not enough black role models in the media, and do you want to just kind of elaborate on, and that was in The Independent. When was that?
That was in July.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, that was in July.
So what prompted you to write that?
So I think it was about... So when I was saying earlier, before we started recording, about just sharing more, I feel like there's probably loads of things I want to say sometimes and don't because of... I guess because people ask you about it afterwards, which is something I'm getting comfortable with. If you say something in public, they're going to ask you about it. Makes sense, obviously. You know, fear of maybe it being career limiting or whatever. But now I just don't really care. So I'm happy just to express how I feel and just be honest. And I think with that, I was like overwhelmed with the response to it. I think it was like the second most shared article from The Independent that day. Like people really felt it, and I struck a chord and was relating to so many people. And I think there were people that were like, oh my gosh, I feel like that. I just didn't even think to say it or didn't articulate it in that way. So I guess it was just me just thinking, do you know what? This is something that I guess I've been experiencing. And I think there's two things. I think it's the kind of just realization that when you go out as a dad, probably more so as a black dad, people just don't really know how to respond to you if you're with your baby, especially when they're quite young.
So you mean if you're on your own, just the two of you? Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so I used to take Eleni out when she was like four, you know, 3 months, I think was the first time I ever took her out on my own. So I used to take her out, make sure my wife has a rest, be out with this young baby. And people would just be quite surprised and quite shocked. And it was weird. Like, I was living in Walthamstow at the time, actually, which is actually quite a liberal left place. It was weird. People just didn't know how to react to me. If I go out on my own, it's fine. Like, when, as soon as I'm with a baby, all of a sudden, it's just a bit weird. And some people...
What was the reaction?
So some people would be like really overly like, oh my gosh, you're out with your baby. Like, you know, like over... happy.
Compensating.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, they were excited, you know, that's good, whatever, cool. And I felt other people were a bit more standoffish, especially if you're going to a place where there's other mums as well.
Yeah.
So I really noticed, I'm like, wow, people don't know how to respond to you. It's either very kind of like, oh my gosh, that's great, you're a dad, you're out, amazing, take my money, take my child, we love you. Or it was
vote for you.
Basically, yeah. Or it was the other kind of, this is a bit weird, so I'm going to avoid him.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm not going to engage with him, so I'm going to pretend he's not there, sort of thing.
Wow. Because I've definitely experienced the first reaction, like not loads, but a couple of times people have come up to me, gone out of the way to just say, can I just say, I think it's great that you're out with your baby. That's, and Alice has been there before as well, and she's sort of commented on it and been like, no one says that to me. It's like, it's just it's a shoe. I know, weird. It's a completely fair point. Why should it be like amazing, this amazing thing?
Yeah, sorry, Elliot, what you were saying.
Yeah. So what was I saying? So yeah, so basically, and I felt like this is weird. I don't experience this when I'm on my own, normally, depending on how I'm dressed. But if I'm dressed like this, normally people are quite, you know, just
shirt and trousers. Normal.
Yeah,
shoes.
Like I've been at work, I have a job, whatever. Yep. So I thought, you know what? I want to express this.
Yeah.
And I was off work for the week, actually. I was in a coffee shop. And that morning I said to my wife, I'm going to write a piece. And literally it came out in like 20 minutes, which is really weird. The title, everything came out in like 20 minutes. And so Sneni, my wife, was like, why don't you send it to The Independent? They've got this bit where you have indie voices, which is just people's opinion pieces, basically. So I sent it to them. And knowing that this is something that actually the title's provocative for a reason, because I wanted it to be like that.
Yeah.
I wanted people to be a bit surprised and shocked by it, because it's not comfortable. It's not a comfortable discussion to have. It's a bit sensitive. Obviously, it's got race, got dads, so
you're ticking all the boxes.
We're ticking these boxes, yeah. So it's a conversation that people might feel uncomfortable to have, but I was like, do you know what? At the end of the day, I don't really care. I think it's a conversation we should be having. Like, the response was crazy. Like, I think the best actual response was a mum saying, oh my gosh, I've been that person before, and now I'm going to rethink.
Oh, right, okay.
Like,
oh,
when I see someone that's different, not necessarily a black dad, but someone, when I see someone that's different to like me and my friends, I'm going to make more of an effort to, if we're at a baby group.
Did she say what her kind of reaction had been before?
So she said she said, I think her exact words were, oh my gosh, I think that's been me. And there was another lady that runs classes, and she was like, oh, actually, yeah, this is true. I need to change the way I set up my classes.
Yeah.
So for me, that was probably the best. But then there was loads of other dads, black dads and not black dads that were like, yeah, we've experienced that. Loads of other women that were like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
my husband tells me about this.
One of the things that you say in your article is that you don't blame people for having that reaction necessarily, because you feel that, you know, that's sort of that's the inevitable kind of effect of like the media and like advertising and the way that you don't see that person represented in those forums.
Yeah. I think it's getting better. I don't know if they've read the article, but I'm seeing a few more adverts just with normal black men.
Yeah.
But in general, we are normally football players, we're athletic, we're musicians, we're really cool, or we're on Crime Watch. We're basically the two extremes,
yeah,
majority of the time. And I think it's a wider issue than fathers. It's more race, basically.
Yeah.
And I related that to actually, if people aren't seeing someone like me who's got a, you know, normal, decent job, wife, normal kind of life. I'm not, unfortunately, a football player or MC or musician. You don't really get to see that person.
Yeah.
That's not really kind of represented in the media proportionately alongside the others.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, they are there a little bit. But proportionately, you see a lot of us being rappers, being footballers, being drug dealers, being criminals. We see that a lot. Proportionately, there needs to be a readjustment of proportion. Like, there needs to be a representation of actually what black British men are, which a lot of us are just normal people who live normal lives, who look after the kids and do normal stuff.
Yeah.
And I use the example of when a magazine approached me. So they approached.
Right, yeah.
They contacted the website, obviously not knowing. I don't know if I had, maybe they didn't look on the about page because they would have saw my picture then. But they contacted the website and said, oh, like, you know, can you contribute to this Father's Day piece that we're doing?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. It was in Mother and Baby, which is the biggest parenting actual magazine. And spoke to the journalist on the phone. Great conversation. I can't remember what we were talking about, but it was something about what have you learned from parenting, I think. Great conversation. Sent in the picture. And kind of that was it. And then I went into Sainsbury's thinking, oh, actually, I might be in the magazine. So I'm in the Sainsbury's aisle and I thought, oh, they got it. And then I wasn't in the article, basically. Shit, and I was like, that kind of spurred me on to write the article as well. Because I was like, the people that are in the magazine, I think there was like 8 dads. They were all white. I was like, the story I told is as interesting, if not more interesting than this, surely. Like, I was saying some stuff. Surely that was interesting. So in a way, I'm glad that happened because I probably wouldn't have written the article if that hadn't happened. So I think that was another factor. But yeah, I was really interested. I was like, that's really interesting. Maybe, and I was talking to my wife about it, you know, maybe they feel like, rightly so, I don't know, that their target audience it doesn't relate to their target audience. It's not what their target audience want to see. I don't know. I don't know what the reason was. But from my point of view, I thought, oh, maybe, you know, diversity is cool at the moment. I thought they would have at least done it just to show they're diverse, but obviously didn't. So yeah, so it's just interesting that I've had kind of like seen that and been like, okay, if that was a magazine that was asking for a criminal and it was talking about drug dealers in London, I'm sure I probably would have been featured then. Or even if they were talking about footballers or something, you know, musicians, I probably would have been featured then as well. So it's just interesting that for this kind of industry.
I mean, to be honest, like, it's interesting because I'm actually, I mean, I totally like agree with you that there is that problem that, you know, like black faces are kind of underrepresented in kind of just, you know, quote unquote normal roles. But I am surprised that like, if we don't know, we should like probably say that we don't know for certain that was the reason, but it is surprising that given that they obviously did, you know, interview you and potentially other black dads, that they didn't have any featured in that article. Okay, everyone, that's the end of part one. More after this.
Wow. Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Elliot, I've read some of the stuff that you've written and stuff, and I know that you have like one day off a week, you know,
tomorrow
Fridays for spending time with your daughter.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of manage that with work? What's the situation?
He's asking so he can get tips, basically, because this is his life now. So
I'm lucky to work in quite a flexible environment where I get to do compressed hours.
Okay.
So
what is it that you do? Just remind us.
that was a big.
So I work in civil service. Central government.
Yeah.
I do like continuous improvement and diversity stuff there.
Okay. Yeah.
And change management. And yeah, it's pretty flexible, which is great. So my line manager likes me, which is always that a good helps. Start.
Yep. Yep.
And so kind of allowed me to work flexibly, which is not just, it's not just me personally. It's just, that's just the rules of the organization basically. Yeah. But there's a lot of parents there, and most people don't work 9 to 5. Like, some people will do part-time, staggered hours, compressed hours. It's very rare to meet someone that's in the office 9 to 5 every day. That doesn't happen anymore. So when my wife went back to work, just to manage the childcare, it was better for me to be at home on a Friday, because obviously we wanted her to go to nursery 3 days a week. My wife's at home on a Thursday.
Okay.
And I get Friday. So I work really long days, Monday to Thursday.
How long's really long?
So it's like, it's probably not that long, to be honest. If there's any doctors or nurses listening, like, what is he talking about?
We can't always compare ourselves to doctors and nurses here. Like, I know it's good to every now and then, but not all the time, because otherwise you'll just feel like shit.
I'll be a bit easier on myself then.
Exactly.
So it's like 8 till 6:30.
Okay. That's long enough.
That's not too bad.
With a 20-minute break, which is okay.
20-minute break. Okay, fair enough. And that means you leave the house at what time?
So I'm leaving at like 7.
Okay, well, it's not... My heart isn't bleeding for you right now.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Okay,
it's,
good.
Don't get me wrong, it's not easy. Yeah. But my job is, I'm not a builder or something.
Yeah.
It's more strategic stuff. Yeah, yeah. And if I want to go and get a cup of tea, I can. Yeah. You know, it's not that
kind
of.
Do you get involved in the kind of morning, like, you know, routine, baby routine?
No, not in the morning. I'm left.
Just, right.
I've left
and
the
then,
house.
And then, like, is she asleep when you get home?
No, well, if I leave on time, she'll be awake. She's not very good at sleeping.
You're laughing through the tears.
Yeah, exactly. That sleep thing, it's not too popular. So a lot of times she'll still be awake when I get home, actually, which is nice.
Yeah,
you don't have to see her for 10 minutes or so. That's really cool. But it's worth it because we've got Friday.
The whole day, yeah.
Whole day, and we do fun stuff. And then the weekend as well. So it's definitely worth it.
So with the, you're saying at the civil service, there's not, you know, is that because they're quite good with the whole parenting flex thing, or is that just the nature of the job? So a lot of parents kind of gravitate towards it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's the organisation, right. Definitely. Like, yeah, I think it's just, I think it's just really forward thinking in that way.
Okay, so they've adapted for their workforce rather than it being something that's always been in place. And,
yeah, because I feel like the future of work is that.
Yeah,
people are going to expect flexibility, expect to be able to work from home.
Yeah.
Expect to be able to use technology and Skype into meetings and stuff like that. I think, you know, there'll be some jobs which are customer facing, which obviously you do need to be there.
Yeah.
But a lot of jobs where it's more strategy and stuff like that, you can work from anywhere. And I think, like, younger people, it's weird, I don't call myself a young person anymore, which is quite sad.
Well, how old are you?
34.
Yeah, you're still young.
Yeah,
am I still young?
Younger than both of us.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, so yeah, young people. Like me. we expect that. And I think organisations are going to have to keep up, otherwise they'll lose talented people. But also, with men getting more involved in childcare, they have to be, because if men are going to be more involved in childcare, which means that, you know, women will do better in the workplace and get higher positions and stuff like that,
yeah,
then you can't just be flexible for the woman anymore. You have to be flexible now for the man. Yeah. So I think it all boils into the same thing of this new flexible working, you know, dads being involved, women in the career ladder. It's all part of the same thing, and you need to have all those parts working together, otherwise it's not going to work.
Completely. Yeah. The thing I want to learn about right now, and I was going to ask you guys about it, is, am I the only one who doesn't know how to take off a baby grow successfully without nearly dislocating a shoulder? I was going to put out, because I'm not even joking, right? I learned about this in NCT. That was one thing they taught us in NCT, is how to take, you know, those kind of like those slip off shoulder things that you get, right? I did it on a doll, fine, no problem. I can't.
What size are your baby grows? Are they like...
No, they're like... not like the baby... Maybe baby grows are on the vest things that go underneath and they got those slip-off shoulder. With the poppers at the bottom. I never know whether to pull it, the thing over the... or.
So I normally just take like... Put one arm in.
Yeah.
But then and then just like... unbutton it, which I forget sometimes. Just kind of open it and yank.
But that seems to be... There doesn't seem to be any sort of... method,
health and safety,
and these shoulder things I feel like have a purpose, but I don't know what the purpose is other than just
it lets the head go through, obviously.
Why
it slightly wider
Oh, is that it? I thought it was like a release thing that you kind of like
it just sort of does it automatically. I don't think you really need to.
No, but okay, I've got the wrong end of the stick.
You've really got
but I've overthought this, I think.
Jay, I've got another question actually for you.
Oh, no.
The other day, I got an invite to an Instagram account.
Yeah.
From Matilda.
From Matilda, yeah.
Oh, wow.
What's this all about?
Well, as you know, I'm a bit of a weird one for social media. Sorry. As in, I don't like oversharing on social media. And we've talked about it before, about whether you should put pictures of your kids up and stuff. Mm. So we decided, because... Who did it? A friend of mine did it. And basically, I told him, he lives in Dubai, and I told him that we were expecting a child. And he said, oh, yeah, my boy is like 6 months old now. And I said, I had no idea you were having a kid, let alone him being 6 months. He said, yeah, we just don't put any pictures up on Facebook or whatever. But we do have an Instagram account for them, which we then share, make it private and share it purely with close friends and family. So they can come, you know, see his kid grow up. And I actually thought that's quite a good idea, because then you can monitor who follows. And I'm not sharing photos that I think I put two photos up of Matilda on my Instagram account. But this way, friends and family who are interested, like, I don't care if you don't want to follow, by all means don't follow. I probably wouldn't follow if I, you know, my mate's kid's account.
It wasn't my baby.
No. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so we just kind of thought it was a nice idea. And then people can kind of dip in. But we made the status says, warning, this is a baby spam account, you know, and don't feel obliged to follow.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because, like, it's so weird. Even though I've got MFF, I don't really share that many pictures of Eleni.
Yeah.
And some of the contributors do, some don't. So a lot, we use stock images and stuff like that. And I know that if I did, like, she's pretty cute. She's a cute little girl. I know if I did share, the website would get more attention. But I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable with pimping out my daughter for likes.
Man, basically, your morals are going to go down. The more desperate you become for that world domination.
But yeah, not. I don't judge people that do.
Yeah, I do. I judge people who do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
That's good. That's fine. I don't. Do I judge people? I don't think I know anyone that well enough that does it like publicly.
Yeah.
And makes money out of it to say that I, you know them to judge them, but...
Oh, no, I don't judge people who make money out of it. Fair play. That's,
all right, okay.
You know.
It's awkward because I do that quite a bit for our good Dad Ugly...
Yeah, but that's fine.
Instagram. But I'm not entirely comfortable with it. I do it, obviously, because I feel like we need to generate a bit of... And thanks, everyone, for following us. But I...
Yeah, thanks for liking the photos that Seth really didn't want you to see.
I mean, I don't mind it. Just as part of me just thinks, should I be doing this? Is this right? Is this?
Well, there we go. So we thought this Instagram account for Matilda, set up, you know, with her name and everything, private, We monitor who sees it.
Yeah.
Only like...
It makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you think that's bad, like what, you know, I'm doing with Matilda and Instagram. Have you seen this thing? Nat put me onto this DILFs of Instagram. Have you seen
no.
that? Like, you know, like what MILFs
so
are.
So dads, obviously. I like to...
Fancy.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. It's basically, it's an Instagram account, which someone set up, and it's, obviously, someone's got to set up, and it's photos people have submitted of dads looking fit at Disney World.
And Disney World? Only Disney World?
At Disney World. Or any of the Disneylands, Disney Worlds, whatever.
It's a bit so specific.
And it's like, but they're
have
like...
have to be at Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like them dads taking their kids around Disneyland, and people find that adorable. And wow. It's all like papped kind of on your iPhone kind of shots of fit dads on Instagram.
But they've turned something that is quite sweet into something a bit seedy though, haven't they?
No, I don't think so, because I think it's quite...
Oh, like, look at that. There's a dad I'd like to fuck.
Like that, yeah. There's a dad with his kid that I'd like to fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the most innocent place, or is it? Innocent place in the world. Yeah, and I just thought that was a bit weird. But loads of girls that I know, I won't name them. Nat, Hannah and Leah. Nat, Hannah and Leah.
Nat, Hannah and Leah.
All are obsessed with it.
Like, to be honest, if there was a MILF page, you guys...
No, I don't think I would.
You wouldn't follow a MILF page?
I would think that it was...
Does your girlfriend listen to this podcast?
There's enough of that stuff on the internet as it is, to be fair. So basically, you asked about what our goal is with this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Is to get on DILFs of Instagram.
Damn, man.
That's the... that's
well,
the
we better make a trip then to Disneyland.
Euro Disney, that's the closest.
That is the closest. But then if Disney are listening and want to give us...
free, all expenses paid.
To California.
Amazing.
We're in.
We're in.
Yeah.
Or Florida. Although it's a bit devastating. Oh, I shouldn't... Too soon. Too soon.
I think the Magic Kingdom is still standing.
Okay,
good. I think we're okay. So yeah, it's DILFs of Instagram. Check it out.
So Elliot, one of the things that we noticed from your website is that you've got a thing a bit similar to us, which is...
Another thing I copied on the podcast.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's called...
Stuff, was it called Stuff?
Stuff to Get.
Stuff to Get.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. We.
Yeah, sorry, sorry guys.
Very similar to Dad Tech.
I know, but...
Which is Jamie's thing.
Which is my thing.
It was such a good idea.
Right.
Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you didn't actually steal it. Come on. No. But you probably stole it from Elliot. No.
Well.
Did you steal it from...
No, I didn't steal it.
Okay.
We don't steal anything on this. Just our jokes and some of our content. Yeah. So hang on. So not only have you come on here.
Yeah.
To promote your website, which is a mum's net for dads, which is what we are. You've come on here with a bit of dad tech, which you want to talk about. Papa's got a brand new
bag. Dad tech, takeover.
So, a bit of a story this morning. So, my daughter has loads of toys.
Yeah.
And I actually left the house this morning, forgot I need to bring this in today.
Right.
Went back in the house, she was awake, and she just basically went crazy that I was putting in a Sainsbury's bag and taking it to work.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how to start explaining what's been put on the set. So, do you want to give it a go?
It looks a little bit like a kind of crazed robot.
Alien.
Alien robot. Can you have an alien robot?
Yeah, you can have alien robots.
I suppose so, yeah.
Robots which aliens have created.
Right, yeah.
Oh, it makes
that's
noises. It,
that's the best flashes. Description.
Oh, here we go. So,
gosh.
I'm going to turn it on.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
I'm not sure. Do you want to say what it is or what it's... Or
so,
do you want to turn it on first and then tell us what it is?
So, it's like a... It's a robot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Its name's Beepo.
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 Mm-hmm.
And it... is the best thing for sitting on the sofa, letting your kid press some buttons and entertain themselves while you scroll Instagram.
While you watch Kardashians.
Yeah, like literally, it's one of those toys where, I remember one time I had a hangover, went out.
Just the one time.
Just the one time, really bad hangover. The next day, and I was lying, my head was spinning, and I was like, do you know what? I actually can't play with you today.
Yeah. So you just have literally
outrageous.
Beepo!
I called Beepo. who came in the room and saved me. Right. And this is what Beatbo does.
Oh, no.
Are you ready to do the ABC dance? Let's go!
Oh, my, it's dancing. It's dancing, and there are lights flashing in a really hypnotic kind of way. I can't take my eyes off it. Oh my god.
Hours of fun.
Bloody. So that, and that doesn't drive you insane?
No. No.
And is it just because, one song?
No, it's got loads of options. Oh, okay. So,
no, you don't need to press it again. You do not need to press it again.
So it's got another option where you can say your name and it puts your name in the song, which is pretty cool.
Let's do that. Genuinely.
Should we do that? Okay, yeah, I think it. Is it this one? Which one is it? It might be this one.
Yeah, you got to do Good Dad Ugly. The good, the dad, and the ugly.
Say something and I'll sing it back. Yes. Get ready.
Good, the dad, the ugly.
Good, the dad, the ugly.
Good, the dad, the ugly.
That is sick.
So
you've changed your tune.
I love it.
Good, the dad, the ugly.
That's
wicked.
That's brilliant.
So the kids, she'll say, Eleni, or Eleni and Mia. He's a cousin. And literally, about 20 minutes, you'll get out of them.
And do you and your wife, when they've gone to bed, have hours of fun saying, give me rude shit to say?
We have hours of fun, but not with Beatbo. No,
Beatbo doesn't get involved.
Yeah, I actually think they should do an adult version of that.
Yeah.
Like playing proper music, obviously, with speakers. But that would be so cool. Like, to have a party and stuff. It's in the corners and
robot. So what I would usually do in dad tech right now, you know, this is your first time, so it's I would usually say who makes it, where you can get it from, price, that kind of thing.
Cool. So it's made by Fisher Price, I think.
Yeah.
And it's quite cheap, actually. So you can get the mini Beatbo, which is like half the size. But we just went for the full
So this,
full
this one's about like 12 inches tall, was it? About 30 centimeters?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the mini one can record your voice.
Right.
Oh, don't get it.
So yeah, that's one of the main features.
Yeah, man.
Still dances. But yeah, so this costs about, I think it's about £24. It was a gift from my wife's friend. And obviously you can get it from Argos, Toys R Us, etc.
Good children's stores.
All good stores. So yeah, if you're looking for something that will entertain your children and is a bit of fun, go for it. Beatbo from Fisher Price.
This is Dad Tech Takeover.
Takeover.
So something I saw recently was put on Facebook, and we actually shared it on our Facebook page, which you can go and visit at Good Dad Ugly if you want to get in touch and see all the cool stuff we put up, was something on The Guardian that a French illustrator called Emma did, and it was basically highlighting the concept of the mental load. You heard about the mental load?
Yes. Yeah, Alice made me very aware of
banging on about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not banging on about it, but just very forcefully sort of saying, you need to read this.
Right.
You need to read this.
And I haven't
read it.
Right. Well, you should. I read it. It's a cartoon, so it's pretty easy to... You can skim through it. You can, you know, whatever.
Just look at
the end. Yeah, skip to the end. Yeah. She basically says that when a man expects his partner to ask him to do things, he's viewing her as the manager of their household chores. So it's like, basically, I had a bit of a conversation with Nat, had a bit of a go at me because she was like, you know, the bottles are in the sink. They're not that. If I don't do them, they're not going to be done, sort of thing. And I said, no, but just tell me. I'll do them. Just tell me they need doing. I'll just do them. She said, well, it shouldn't be like that. And then...
Mental load.
As if by magic, this article appeared like 2 days later. And I was like, I really think you should read this. Yeah. And then take some time to think about things and come back to me on it. No, she wasn't like that. But it's basically, I'll paraphrase here, but it's a cartoon. It's on the Guardian website, The Mental Load. Look it up. It actually makes some very good points. And I thought it was worth mentioning.
So is it about like men not listening or something?
No,
or?
It's not about men not listening. It's about men expecting their female partner to just do things around the house and expect them to, if something that the guy needs doing, she'll ask us to do it sort of thing. Whereas it's not about that.
It's like sort of like everything to do with the baby is that they bear the mental load for it. So even if they don't do everything, dad's my help. They're always the one that has to say, oh, the like the bottles need to be cleaned or like these need to be folded or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the example...
And that takes a toll.
But it's a hard one, I guess, because like... So I was talking about it with someone today, like ages ago, that probably would have been the case because the man's got out to work and the lady is actually at home.
Mm.
You know, that's their job to look after the kids and do the home and men go out to work. And it's so funny that now like that's changed. So we're both going out to work, but a lot of the time our attitudes to that probably haven't changed completely. So for me at home, we both work.
Mm.
But to be honest, she does. So I do loads of stuff, but she will probably think about what Ellen is going to eat on the weekend or something like that. Yeah. Or she'll think about what she's going to wear. Like, is a... I might iron, but she'll think about making sure the ironing's done and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes I do look and I think, actually, yeah, I got it quite easy, to be honest.
Mate, since reading this thing, honestly, I've kind
of... bucked up your ideas.
I think I have a little bit, actually. I think, I mean, from time to time. The thing is, I kind of notice it. Yeah. Whether I do anything about it is a different thing altogether. Like, I kind of go, I kind of... Probably should do that.
But
there's so 10 minutes to go in a football and it is nicely poised.
You know what? As I said, Alice has sort of asked me to read it. But the reason I haven't read it is because she sort of explained to me the gist of it.
Yeah,
and I
was like, gave you the abridged notes.
But the thing is that like she certainly probably does take on more of the mental load when it comes to like baby stuff. But I traditionally and still do take on more of the kind of annoying house admin.
Okay.
So I don't actually feel that guilty about it.
So admin, do you mean by bills and...
Bills and like, sort of stuff, and like, oh, we've got to get work done. So I'm like chatting with the builders and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just the other stuff that needs to get done. Oh, the sink's blocked.
Yeah.
The garden needs to like, we need to like cut the hedge back. Like I'm all over that stuff. Yeah, so I feel like...
Oh, I think I am as
division
well.
Division of responsibilities.
Yeah. And I think we've got to a point now where Nat and I kind of... Nat will kind of go, okay, well, this is what he's doing. You take this 50%, I'm going to take that 50%, and I'm just going to assume it's going to get done. I'm not going to, and to be fair, I was like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like a week later, it's like, have you applied for Matilda's passport yet? I'm like, no, I definitely was going to do that, I promise, but the football's on and it's 1-1.
It's nicely poised.
It's nicely poised. Yeah, so that's just one stat that it says is, according to the French Institute of Statistics, women are still devoting 25 times more hours to chores than men.
Don't trust the French statistics.
Don't trust statistics in total, really. And if they're French, then definitely.
Well, I think we'll wrap episode 11 there. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening. You know, your dedicated support and devotion really means a lot to us.
Massive.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Just quickly, so if people want to kind of read your website, what's the website address?
So the address is www.musicfootballfatherhood.com. And we're on Twitter and Instagram, which is at @MFFonline_.
Awesome. And of course, you know, follow, you know, us and get in touch with us at our Good Dad Ugly accounts.
Twitter and Instagram, where you'll see more photos that Seth doesn't want to put up.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't want to put them up, but if I do put them up, I want everyone to like them.
Yeah, and comment.
And comment, yeah.
And possibly share.
Yeah.
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 And also rate and review.
Rate and review.
That's massive for us in terms of getting us more exposure, and therefore we can get more brilliant guests like Elliot here to come and be a part of this. So yeah, rate, review on iTunes, and follow us on social media.
Bye.
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 Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.